Omaha Public Radio presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. On today's program, we'll hear the first of two debates with candidates for the office of mayor of the city of Omaha. Today's participants, in anticipation of the primary election this coming Tuesday, April 2nd, will be incumbent Mayor Jim Suttle, seeking his second term in office, and challengers, current member of the Nebraska unicameral Brad Ashford, Omaha businessman Dave Nabity, current member of the Omaha City Council Gene Stothert, and former Omaha City Council President Dan Welch. This program, co-sponsored by the Omaha League of Women Voters, was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Friday afternoon, March 22, 2013, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the candidates and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to begin the program is our moderator, Gary Kerr, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
We are going to begin with 1 minute and 30 second opening statements from each of the candidates, the order determined earlier by drawing names. Brad Ashford, you are to begin.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. Thank you, Gary, for doing this. Thanks to the Press Club and the League for their involvement in this election process. My message to everybody today is that everything is possible in Omaha. And I have been so blessed to have had 15 years in the state legislature to work on projects for the city of Omaha, including LB 775, which created a positive tax climate for businesses back in 1987, the development of the Quest Center, now CenturyLink, basically returning Omaha to the river and creating a whole new city. That collaboration with the state legislature and the city and the county and the private sector has transformed our city. And then thirdly, what's going on right now in the legislature and so important to our city is juvenile justice reform. Building trust with families in Nebraska is critical to our future. And the way to build trust is to deal with our children in a way that's responsible and brings them into a place where they can receive treatment and help so that violence can be reduced. So thank you, Gary, again, and we look forward to this debate.
Dave Nabity for a minute 30.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Glad to be here. Thank you very much to the League for putting this together. I'm Dave Nabity. I grew up in the Benson area. I went to Monroe Junior High and Benson High School. My wife went to Central. So we are midtown, downtown type kids. We grew up in the core of Omaha. We've been married almost 34 years in May and have had 7 children. Some people ask me, why are you qualified to run for mayor of Omaha and manage Omaha? And I tell them, well, I've been raising teenagers for 20 years. And if that doesn't train you for the conflict of City Hall, I don't know what would. But I'm the one person in the race that's a business person, that's bringing business ideas and business strategies to the forefront to try to address some of the huge issues that we have in Omaha. Omaha is an awesome place. It's my home. It's where I plan on staying the rest of my life. And we've done some amazing things here in this city, but we have some real challenges too. We have a huge crime problem. We have a planning department that has, I call them the sales and job prevention department of the city of Omaha. They become very, very difficult to do business with, and that's impeding economic growth. We have labor contracts that are really out of control. We need to reorganize government and innovate government and bring best practices to the city of Omaha so that we can streamline and modernize and free up the money to start investing in our future. And investing in our future means more tourism business, more economic development, more construction, and building projects, and doing the kinds of things that will turn us into a city that can compete with the Austins and the Indianapolises.
Jim Sotto.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I want to talk about the three things that I will focus on in the second term. Number one, getting more of the illegal guns off the streets of this city. Number two, to continue to fight the state of Nebraska from releasing early those felons convicted of gun and violent crimes on the streets of Omaha before they even serve their minimum sentences. And number three, continue aggressively with our Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce, the public-private partnership with the city to promote economic development and job creation. We have 5 major sites: Ames Locust Industrial Park in the north, the Marriott Hotel site at downtown, the Civic Auditorium site to package and put on the street, the Crossroads Shopping Center, and the Cancer Center at UNMC.
All right, Gene Stothard.
Well, thank you very much. I think it's very important for all of us who want to lead the city, face each other and face the citizens of Omaha and let you know what our goals and our vision are if we were to be elected mayor of Omaha. So I appreciate that. Omaha is a great city. It's a vibrant city. It has great people and businesses in it. But I truly feel in the last 4 years, the leadership in this city has stifled us to reach our full potential. Here's what's happened. Our property taxes have gone up 15%. We have new taxes, new fees, and new regulations. Crime is on an uprise, violent crime as well as property crime. And the citizens of Omaha recognize this, and they're asking for new leadership. If you take my background as a critical care nurse and a head nurse, as a department head in a surgery department, my 11 years on the Millard School Board dealing with school issues and student issues and educational issues, and my past 4 years as being a member of the Omaha City Council, I believe I can combine my background in business and in being an elected official and hit the ground running on the first day. I see a bright future for Omaha, and I think with the right leadership, our best days are still ahead of us.
Dan Welch.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Great crowd. I'd love to be here with you and try and share my message with you. I'm a fourth-generation Omahan. My family is very deeply rooted in this city and this community. I was born here. I went to school at Creighton Prep High School. I went to the University of Nebraska-Lincoln and then came back and went to Creighton University School of Law. I started a business with my father and my brother, a law firm. Dave, I'm a businessman as well. Been making payrolls for 15 years. Shortly thereafter, I ran for the city council. I won the seat and actually was elected to a second term uncontested. I was elected by my colleagues twice to be the city council president, and I think that's because I understand, despite the fact that people have different personalities, different political views, different philosophies about life, the only way we can get things done in the city is by working together. I'm a little concerned about where the city is in that regard right now. I'm a little bit concerned about what's going on in Washington in that regard right now. It's not working. I can promise you as your mayor, that as I did as the city council president and city councilman, I will work well with the city council. We will get things done in Omaha. And I think with my combined business experience, my legal background, and political experience in the city of Omaha, that I could serve the city well. And I hope you think so, too.
Thank you all. Questions for the candidates have been prepared by a committee of Press Club and League of Women Voters members. Candidates have not seen the questions in advance. Each candidate will have 1 minute to respond to each question, followed by a 30-second response or rebuttal from each before we go on to the next question. So, first question. We are one of the few cities in the United States where garbage collection is paid for out of general tax revenues instead of by individual homeowners and businesses. A number of people have suggested that if you want to have a major impact on city tax rates or finding money for other needs, removing city garbage collection from the equation is a good way to go. What do you think? Jim Suttle, you begin.
Well, I think that's an interesting proposal. It's been around for a long, long time, but it is not what we're hearing from the voters as a number one issue. So you've asked the question, and let me answer it this way. In order to accomplish that, we have to go to the unicameral and get state enabling legislation to allow the city to invoke a garbage fee. What I'd rather do at this time is work on the collaborative effort we have between the city and the county. We have a resolution of intent to focus on revamping our entire waste collection, focusing on a mammoth redesign of our recycling program for the entire county and joint effort between the city and the county. From that, we will redesign how we take remaining waste and how we direct those to the Douglas County landfill. That will be more effective and more constructive.
Dan Welch, what do you think?
No. In the last 3.5 years, we've had a raise in property taxes, the wheel tax, a raise in fees across the board, an invented restaurant tax. We've had additional an occupation tax that's been imposed. If we decide to make a change and we put the payment in the city taxpayers' hands, it's an additional tax on them, and I think I've had about enough with new taxes. It doesn't help the city to prosper, and I understand how politicians work because I've been around a long time. And the fact of the matter is, if we get rid of that responsibility for the city, we put it in the taxpayers' hands, we're asking them to pay more, but I know we're not going to reduce taxes on the other side. Absolutely not.
Gene Stothard?
Yes, thank you. There is a state law that says cities of the metropolitan class cannot charge for basic city services. And so Omaha, at this point in time, without a state law change, could not do that. We have, as chairman of the Public Works Committee, though, and as being a member, a director on the MAPA board now for 4 years, the citywide trash collection and recycling is an issue that I think we have to address. What we need is to provide a good service. If there's one thing I hear all the time from areas of SIDs in my district that have been annexed, is they complain about their trash collection. And I think what we need to do as a city, and Deffenbaugh is our company we use now for recycling also, is we need to work with them and make sure that we deliver high-quality services for the least cost we can to the citizens. Because right now, with your property tax, you are paying for it. And so I think we need to really concentrate on providing the better city services that we have now, including trash collection and recycling.
Brad Ashford.
I do think there's an opportunity for collection of waste, especially recyclables, with commercial businesses, especially smaller commercial businesses. And cities across the country are doing this, where we develop a franchise system and franchise garbage collection or waste collection to commercial users. That franchise fee would then go to the city so the city could actually get revenue, and the franchisees would be able to charge commercial users for that waste that is not recyclable. That is recyclable, they would not be charged. So I think those kinds of collaborative solutions, especially on the commercial side, could increase recycling and increase revenue to the city. And we can do that without a change in legislation.
Dave Navity.
I lived in an SID for about 25 years, and we paid for Abe's to come out and pick up our trash. And what we liked about Abe's is we could throw anything out there and they'd pick it up. The service that they provided was far better than what you get from Deffenbaugh in the city. I am not in favor of having pushing a private group out to where that citizens have to pay new taxes. If you have the citizens start paying, it's just another tax increase because we can't reorganize government. And one of my big strategic plans is to do performance audits inside every department of government. And one of the things that we're going to look at is garbage, because I do live in the city now, and I know what it's like to take those little trash bins out to the curb when the wind is blowing, and you pray to God when you get up in the morning that the trash isn't all over the neighborhood. Other cities have large recyclable bins with lids on them that you can put your recyclables in, and they've got more modern ways of managing the garbage. So a big part of what I'm going to do is to bring new innovations to how we handle garbage.
We've got 30-second responses built in here. So, Jim Suttle, you want to use that time?
Well, as I said, the intent resolution between your city and county is another example of where we are looking to combine functional areas. The recycling that we were talking about, the plan was for all users, producers of solid waste, be they commercial, residential, industrial, the whole stream, liquid, solids, everything. So it's a great idea. We're going to work on more specific details as we get into the summer.
Dan Welch.
One of the problems with growth of the city is when the city is overtaxed and the cost of living is too high. When we're trying to attract people into the city of Omaha, we have to make sure that we have efficient, effective, basic public services with a low cost of living. Again, this would be the wrong direction to go, because all of a sudden people of Omaha are going to be paying additional dollars, and it really is just another tax unless you're willing to reduce property tax on the other side. And I haven't seen the political will to do that in the city of Omaha in a long, long time.
Gene Stothard.
Yes, I want to make it clear that I feel strongly that we should keep it in the hands of the city. But remember, these contracts are negotiated. And every several years, that contract for trash collection comes back to the city, and we need to make sure that the bid that we accept is we get the best bang for our buck, and also that they will provide the service with the high standards that we expect.
Brad Ashman.
You know, I think if we were to consolidate city and county government, that garbage collection, waste collection countywide would make sense. There's an economy of scale. It could be uniform across the county, and opportunities for innovative waste collection could be enhanced.
Dave Navity.
One of the reasons why I'm running for mayor is because I don't see that Omaha is getting out of the 70s in a lot of different ways, and one of those ways is how we're handling garbage collection. If you go to other communities and they have one guy on a truck and they have large trash bins with lids on them for recyclables, and that guy can pull up and the arms go out and drop the trash in the truck and come back down. If other cities have already figured out how to do that, why can't we do that? And one of the things you'll hear about me talk about a lot today is we need to bring the best practices of other cities to Omaha.
By some measure, the crime rate is going down, but you sure wouldn't know it measured by the number of shootings, many of them fatal, many in North Omaha. Certainly bad for the people involved, for the neighborhoods, and bad for the image of our city. Name three ideas you have to decrease the crime rate throughout Omaha, but especially in North Omaha. For 1 minute, Dave Nabody.
Okay, I have a crime plan that you can see on my website, www.nabodyforomaha.com. There's 12 points on there that are very strategic, that we studied cities across the country and what they're doing to reduce crime, and I'm confident that if we execute the plan that I'm talking about, we'll see a reduction in crime in 12 to 24 months that will be significant. Three ideas. One is the development of community service officers. What that does is it puts a civilian employee inside the police department that serves as an ambassador to the different neighborhoods where there is high crime. And they work to build relationships with the community, and they're linked together technologically so that they have a good communication network so that you get ahead of where crimes are occurring. Second idea is you bring in software called predictive analytics. There's actually software that can keep track of crime activity and get to the point where you can actually anticipate where a crime's going to occur before it does. And so working with the community service officers, you move out and get law enforcement there before it happens.
Jim Suttle.
Well, what you just heard, we've already been doing now for over 10 years. So let's add to the mix on what we've done in my administration to enhance what was done by Mayor Fahey. We've enhanced the community policing element to higher and higher levels, creating 41 neighborhood associations in the north side, thus creating a neighborhood alliance concept so we can work better between professional law enforcement and our neighborhoods. We instituted a couple of task forces, one on landlords, one on illegal guns. Out of that came a number of ideas that we put in place. We'll do one more task force on the high-velocity weapons here in the summer. We've also put in place a technology such as the ShotSpotter technology. But the biggest thing for us to do is the jobs, to get rid of the poverty. Thus, the Ames Locust Industrial Park, thus the Summer Youth Employment Program are all designed to attack the crime problem at its source, and that's with poverty and the lack of jobs.
Dan Welch.
The crime isn't the problem. It's a symptom of the problem. The problem is a social problem. And that is fatherless children. That is children raising children. That is dropout rates and truancy rates as high as any place in the country. Joblessness, poverty. And we have to start taking that head on. And the next mayor needs to do that. The mayor should wake up every single day thinking about what he's going to do to improve Northeast Omaha. In the meantime, we do need a Band-Aid plan with regard to crime, particularly gang crime and drug crime. And I would employ a system used by David Kennedy, a renowned criminologist out of Harvard University that's been used all over the city. I would certainly ask for stricter gun sentencing laws in Lincoln, the state legislature, as well as a stricter RICO statute. And finally, I'd provide for more gun amnesty days so we can try and get more guns off the streets.
Gene Stothert.
Crime is very difficult because the causes are so many, but it is a citywide problem, and it's going to take a citywide effort to address it. Our murders last year were up. Our property crimes were up. And if you really want to address crime, it must be addressed with a three-prong effort. First, it has to be prevention. We must keep our kids in school, get them graduated from our high school so that they are employable and they have a feeling of hopefulness in the future. Second, we have to talk about intervention. If we want to solve the problems with crime, we must have law enforcement. We must make sure OPD is at full sworn strength. We must work with our local, our county, our state, and our federal. And finally, prosecution. We must work with our judges for stiffer penalties for those who commit crimes with illegal guns. I think we really need to work on amending the good time laws that we have right now. And I think that we need to There we go with our time. Thank you.
Brad Asher.
Yeah, number one, Mayor, two, we have to understand we now do have mandatory minimum sentences. So violent criminals who commit crimes with illegal guns get a mandatory minimum. They're not released before their mandatory minimum. Number one, though, we need to have career academies, and we need to educate kids in 21st century skills. We need to decrease the dropout rate, and that's happening with our truancy initiative that we passed 3 years in the legislature. The dropout rate in Omaha Public Schools is going down significantly. Three, we have to build trust with the community. And one way to do that is to reduce the incarceration of juveniles. We have over 4,400 young people statewide that are prosecuted in the adult courts. That does not induce trust with the community, and we need to prosecute juveniles that have committed violent crimes in the adult courts, but not juveniles who have not. We need to build trust through that process.
We're into 30-second responses on this question. Dave Nabity, you begin.
Well, I know the mayor said we've been doing these things for 10 years, but it's not, whatever he's doing is not working. And one of the big disconnects is the community is not cooperating. There is no relationship that we need to have in North Omaha and South Omaha and the high crime areas with the city of Omaha. That's one reason why I have offered to bring back a position like the police auditor to have an advocate there to be able to work with people who feel like there's grievances. I also have developed a pathway toward achievement to help gang members get out of a life of crime, and you can see that on my website.
Jim Suttle.
I'd like to add, in addition to what I stated earlier, we also brought workforce back to Omaha, the governance back to my office, but I created a nonprofit corporation called Heartland Workforce Solutions with the Chamber so we could do a better job in focusing on those who need employment. We are putting $365,000 annually into the fight on truancy. I've recommissioned the prosecutor's office so we have a partnership between them and law enforcement. We have a program called RISE that helps put individual youth offenders into a specific program to get mainstreamed. And next, we're going to be focusing more on cybercrime, the next place that we will see an increase in crime.
Dan Welch.
Whether crime is up a little bit or down a little bit is no matter. Quite honestly, having all these children on the front page of our paper dying every other day in the summer is unacceptable for Omaha, Nebraska. Whatever we're doing, we're not doing it well enough. I think that we do need a new plan. I think that I've got a plan that works for the city of Omaha, and I promise you, we're going to dive in headfirst to take this on because we simply can't have this going on in a city that is otherwise such a prosperous city.
Gene Stothard.
As far as addressing crime, I don't think a police auditor would make any difference at all. I think what we need is a strong and independent police chief, and I think we need an open and receptive and a mayor who listens. And I do want to say that the number one factor that contributes to crime is poverty, and the number one factor that contributes to poverty is lack of education. I think we really need to concentrate on the root. And that would be, again, keeping our kids in school, addressing the truancy, getting them a high school diploma so that they can come out and be good citizens.
Brad Ashford.
Build trust with the community by not over-incarcerating juveniles, number one. Number two, develop career academies on the north side of Omaha and on the south side so that in 10th grade, young people can start learning a skill, get their diplomas, and get a job when they graduate from high school. And enforce mandatory minimum sentencing for enticing people to be in gangs, which we have that law in the books now, and mandatory minimum sentencing for carrying illegal guns and procuring guns for juveniles. And I think those three things would help tremendously.
Thank you. Crossroads is prime real estate in the city of Omaha. For over 15 years, there have been discussions about redevelopment, but we have seen no movement on the ground, although a redevelopment plan was approved by the city council on Tuesday. Are we ever going to see anything there? What would be your timeline and plan for revitalizing the Crossroads Shopping Center? Brad Ashford for a minute.
Actually, my family had the first store at Crossroads, along with Brandeis, Nebraska Clothing Company, in 1961, and I was vacuuming the carpet when I was 11 years old to get that open. We need to revitalize Crossroads, but we also need to revitalize the area along 72nd Street. We have legislation pending in the legislature right now that will use turnback financing, the same financing vehicle we use for the Quest Center, collaborating with city government, county government, to come up with a plan along 72nd Street, building retail around public projects similar to the Ralston Arena, to the Quest Center, and the Lincoln Arena can be done along 72nd Street utilizing this legislation. But it takes collaboration with state government in order to engineer that plan. But in order for Crossroads to succeed, seems to me it has to be part of a public project, whether it's a library or a technology center. Then we can start thinking about building, but you don't use that kind of financing to finance retail when you have other retail establishments within the area.
Dave Navity.
Yeah, Crossroads is where I went when I was a kid all the time to shop, and but I didn't sweep the floors or anything like that.
I just shopped.
Yeah, I probably did go in that store, actually. As a matter of fact, my mother-in-law worked there.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Anyway, the one thing that I don't like about what's happening in this city is you're taking areas like Crossroads and you're taking areas like Old Mill and you're calling them blighted in order to make an economic development deal come together. And I think there needs to be some big changes in the way that we designate properties for tax financing to make economic development projects happen, because it makes all the neighbors around the area pretty frustrated when they're living in a blighted area, and it has an impact on real estate values. The development of our city needs to be strategic. It needs to be built around business plans that I know will really work. I've seen the initial designs that have come out with Crossroads, but I too wonder why it's not happening faster.
Jim Suttle.
Well, as I said, your city will become an investor with these five developments. We will have the proposals ready by or before June on our city/Crossroads development agreement and have that ready for the city council. The goal has been set to open the major stores by Easter of 2015. We have a lot of work to do. The issue is the financing package and how that comes together. And I would make appeal to our state senator here that he and his colleagues not put roadblocks in our way for the city to move forward with these major developments.
Dan Welch.
Crossroads is located at about the most busy intersection in the city. It is an extremely valuable piece of property. I don't think that the mayor and government should be engineering what happens with a very valuable piece of property. It seems to me that if you have valuable property, you'll have property developers that are going to come forward, and by the way, have, to turn that into a great center for retail like we have in so many areas of the city. We have to make certain that we don't give away the store when we don't have to, because our money needs to be spent on basic public services. Our money needs to be spent on public safety, on creating jobs, and I just don't want to see too much of our money going down the drain when we have a very attractive area for development that a private contractor and developer will take on their own.
Gene Stothard.
Yes, as a member of the City Council, I have met many times with the developer of that project. I've looked at the plans. We spent a lot of time meeting with the neighbors so that the neighbors understood the plan and the direction we were going in that area. So I think it's a very exciting new development, and I think that area around Dodge Street and 72nd Street we've seen crumble in the past 5 to 10 years, and this is going to be something that is going to bring a lot of jobs and a lot of people to the area. It's going to be called Crossroads at University Village, and there is a lot of work to do in that area. But let me tell you, when we use the TIF, and we are using the TIF in that area, making that area a redevelopment area, the TIF areas that the city has used in the past, the property value in those areas on average have increased between 800 and 1,000%. And so I think that the tools that we have, that we can use, that the state has allowed us to use, and we will continue to use, will help us develop that area into a very vibrant, welcoming area of our city.
We're into 30-second responses, and Brad Ashford, you're off the top.
TIF is overused, and though it can be used to a certain extent at Crossroads, the better idea is a public-private partnership similar to the Quest Center, where we develop public infrastructure like a library, like a park in the area, like Elmwood Park, like renovating Elmwood Park and using the retail to help develop Elmwood Park into a new park. That can be done, but we have to be collaborative. We have to come down to Lincoln Mayor and see if we can come up with a plan to make this work.
Dave Navity.
I think we have to be very careful about how we are using this financing, though, because if you look at the old mill area and you look at the houses that are on the other side of the Papio Creek, those neighbors are really, really upset about that property being designated as blighted. And evidently, they don't know that their homes are going to go up in value by 1,000%.
Jim Suttle.
Great cities become great and stay great by investing in themselves, and that's what we're doing as a public-private partnership with the Crossroads investors. I've been a business person working all around the world on these types of concepts, so it's time for government to be part of that public-private partnership, but to do so, you have to bring capital, share the risk with the private sector to get the incentives in place. That's what we're proposing. That's what we must do in order to strengthen our city's tax base.
Dan Welch.
With regard to the Crossroads and just about every other development in the city of Omaha, we have a serious problem in the city, and that is that our planning department seems to hold these developments hostage. We're not getting plans in and out of the planning department, which is the whole purpose or one of the main purposes of the planning department. To the extent that we can't do that, developments don't happen, jobs don't happen, and we have to turn that around in the city of Omaha forthwith, and it's one of the first things that I would take on as the mayor of the city.
Gene Stothert.
About TIF again, it is a tool, and it's a very good tool, but it can be overused, and I really would like to work with the legislature to work on changing some of the verbiage. The blighted and substandard terminology that an area has to be deemed, it seems like it's quite upsetting to many of the neighbors, and I can understand why that is. I think we need to get it changed to be an area of redevelopment. But again, it is a tool. It's been used all over Omaha. In fact, we're using it right now out in Elkhorn to help redevelop Old Main Street in Elkhorn. So it can be very, very valuable.
Since we are speaking of redevelopment, name three new ideas you have to revitalize North Omaha, Gene Stothert.
In the North Omaha area, you know, there is the 24th Street area, 24th and Lake. That is an area that has had some streetscaping and some revitalization, but I would like to see that area continue to develop. I think if we really want strong neighborhoods in North Omaha, we need to see a mix of good housing. We need to see a mix of retail. And those things just have not been growing as fast as I would like them to see in the past 4 years. We also need in North Omaha industry. You know, we have a new Walmart going in, and that is great, and that will provide some jobs. But we need more than that. And I would like to see more industry develop in that area. We've had several businesses in Omaha that have been disappointing to me because they were looking for a new place to relocate. An example I'll give you is Omaha Steel and Castings, and they were looking at some areas in the North Omaha area. And since then, because of some struggles with the city, have decided to relocate in another area out in Wahoo. And I think it's important that we work with people to make sure that we can get those developments going.
Brad Ashford.
We've got to have land banks. And in the legislature right now, we're working on a land bank bill, and I appreciate the mayor's support for this, that would allow North Omaha to form a land bank to have individuals on this board from that community and to access one half of the property tax from lots and dilapidated houses that are turned around and to develop community gardens, new housing, retail. That bill will pass this year in the legislature, and we appreciate the city's support. We also can use turnback financing for the Jazz Museum 24th Street project up and down 24th Street by turning back, as we develop retail, turning back that retail sales tax to help develop Jazz Museum and related areas. And then thirdly, you got to have a career academy in North Omaha. You can have all the industry you want, but unless you have people that are trained with the skills to do the jobs, the industry is not going to be occupied by people from the area. So we have to teach the skills necessary.
Dave Navity.
I'm going to speak specific to the question about what would you do in a specific area for North Omaha. And at 24th and Lake, my vision is that we need to take that area and turn that into a jazz entertainment district. You know, a mini New Orleans without all the decadence. And have a place there for entertainment, shops, music. That's something that's important to that culture. That's what I hear from the neighborhood and the leaders down there, that they want that kind of a entertainment venue. But you've got to go further. They're talking about developing parks and then the possibility of developing a music conservatory that would partner with the universities to teach kids music. And then be able to be in a position where maybe you could develop sound studios where you could allow them to record and produce music and just transform the whole area into an entertainment district that serves the community. And it's the kind of place that people, no matter where you live in the area, if you're within 100 miles and you want to go someplace for entertainment and music, that will be a great place to go.
Jim Suttle.
Let's talk about what we've already done. Walmart is coming in at 50th and Ames. I've been working on that since 2004 when I was ready to go on the council. We also have converted Fontenelle Golf Course into a family park, and we've already put the trails in, the trees. There'll be so much more coming there for families. We have the redevelopment at the far end at 72nd Street with Ted Seldon's development. We have Heartland Workforce Solutions that we brought back and sited in North Omaha. And for the future, we'll be developing this year the Ames Locust Industrial Park, which is where I hope to bring Omaha Steel Castings. You see, it's not the city that was the problem. It was the OPPD power issues with six transformers. That deal's falling apart in Wahoo. We're going to go after them again and put them in Ames Locust.
Dan Welch.
The other night, we had a forum in North Omaha, and we all agreed that 24th Street needs to be redeveloped. Certainly, I agree with the mayor that it would be great to get additional industry in the area for more jobs, and then mom-and-pop type storefronts in that sector of the city. But we have to have a very serious conversation about what's going on there, because when you're talking about business development, you're talking about people that will open businesses and create jobs. And because they want to make a profit, they want to make money. And if people are afraid to be in that sector of the city, they're not going to spend their hard-earned money opening a storefront or opening a business because they're worried that they won't have customers and they won't make money. That is why it is so important that the next mayor dive headfirst into Northeast Omaha to start to plant the seeds for growth. It's not going to happen under one mayor, but we've got to start now. And I'm telling you, maybe 20, 25 years from now, we'll see North Omaha the way it used to be and not the way it is now. But it has to start happening now.
Gene Stothert, we're into 30-second responses, and you're first.
Thank you. You know, if we really want to address the problems in North Omaha, which primarily are poverty and unemployment, I think we have to prioritize. And although arts and entertainment is okay, I think the issues in North Omaha is they need jobs. They need jobs, they need hope, they need workforce training. And what we need to do is really concentrate on getting new businesses to relocate there, to get industry to expand and to grow there. I think that's what my priority would be.
Brad Ashford.
Yeah, you need two things. You need to create skill sets. So you have to have a career academy developed with OPS and with Metro Community College to train 2,500 young people with skills where they can get a job. Number two, we need to have a land bank in North Omaha so that we can restore the old homes and rebuild on the vacant lots. And we need to do that with people who are in the career academies learning how to do that, going out of the career academies and building the houses. We could do that instantaneously once that bill passes.
Dave Navity.
If you look at my crime plan that's online, you'll see that I have a strategy to work with Metro Community College to build another tech high school that will provide the job training. But let me talk about the music side of it and why it's so important. It's a part of their culture. But musicians, especially children that learn how to read music, become excellent students. And it gets them out of the way of being tempted to be out doing things they shouldn't do. If they're at a conservatory learning music, they get a chance to perform. It's a tremendous idea to reinvigorate the youth into music.
Jim Suttle.
Once upon a time, we had a middle-class neighborhood in North Omaha with moms and dads and kids on bicycles. They primarily worked in the 29 packing houses we had in the city. We now have three packing houses. We as a city never filled the void of the joblessness from the loss of those jobs. As mayor, I've been working hard on the council and as mayor to make up for lost time. And we are and we shall. And the key is the industry. We'll start with Ames Locals. We'll expand it into the airport industrial park and get North Omaha working.
Dan Welch.
I'd like to work with the Chamber of Commerce, and I'd like to ask the Chamber of Commerce to dedicate some of their professionals to the redevelopment of North Omaha. They certainly have more expertise than me or probably anybody in the City Hall in terms of redevelopment. But in the short term, and I think that's more of a long-term plan, but in the short term, certainly we have to focus on job training. The mayor, who knows about every business owner in the city, needs to work with those business owners to try and provide jobs citywide. And to the extent that those jobs aren't in the neighborhood of North Omaha, then we have to provide transportation so people can work.
Name three areas of city government where spending could be curtailed, Dan Welch.
I think that certainly, and you've heard me talk about it for about 15 years, when we talk about our police and fire, police officers and fire department, we have certainly on the fire side, we are able to save money in a heck of a lot more than just three areas. When I was on the city council, I was the city council president, and I was able to commission a study from a company called Matrix out of California. And Matrix came in and reviewed our entire fire and police departments. And what they told us is that we could probably cut $10 to $15 million out of our budget yearly, by making changes within the police and fire department, and it wouldn't compromise public safety at all.
Jean Strother.
City health care costs, public employee pensions, and fire operational costs. If you look at the three main financial challenges, major financial challenges that the city of Omaha has now, it would be our public employee pensions, our city health care cost, and then the CSO, the sewer separation project, that is an unfunded mandate. If we really want to get a hold of our city's budget, the key is in the labor negotiations of the labor contracts. The contract that we just approved for the fire department, it had significant reform as far as health care and pensions. It's getting us on the right track, but we have a lot more that we need to do. But if we really want to address the issues that we have with our financial challenges, because so many of our city employees belong to unions, whether they're civilians or whether they're fire or police, we really need to concentrate on the labor contracts.
Brad Ashford.
One, we don't need two crime labs. We don't need a county crime lab and a city crime lab. And we have legislation in the legislature to get those two things consolidated, though it should be done locally. Two, we don't need a city prosecutor and a county attorney. City prosecutors are paid significant amount of money for prosecuting minor offenses and traffic offenses. And three, we need to look at the CSO project again. I am not convinced that we need a reservoir under the river. I'm not convinced that we should not bring the engineers involved that we have here, Kiewit or HDR, whomever they are, to take another look at this. We did the Trans-Canada pipeline issue in the legislature. We were told it had to go over the Ogallala Aquifer. Well, we changed that, and it's not going over the Ogallala Aquifer. It's that I think collaboratively we can take another look at the CSO project. It's going to cost taxpayers. It's a tax hike beyond all tax hikes, and it needs to be resolved one way or the other in a more positive way.
Dave Navity.
One of the things that I want to do, and it's in my business plan, is to do performance audits on all parts of city government. That way, you make sure that you don't penalize the good programs and give too much money to the programs that aren't doing well. But the fact of the matter is that our city council and our mayor had the opportunity to bring best practices to Omaha to modernize and streamline a fire department that was wasting $5 million over budget almost every year for the last 4 years, and they didn't do it. And we did not need a restaurant tax if they had just done their jobs. And it's one of the big reasons why I'm running for office, is that we have to have a mayor that's willing to learn what other cities are doing and do the performance audits and bring the best practices so that you can lower the costs and get rid of the excesses that are going on in government. And I'm sorry, this pension plan that just got passed was even more expensive than the pension plan that the mayor put on the table. So, you know, it's time to put politics aside and get leadership in the chief executive office.
Jim Suttle.
Now that we have brought financial stability to the city's financials, we can work on those three things I promised in the last election: modernize systems, gain efficiencies from our existing operations, and get more city services online into the e-world. And we are doing that. We initiated performance-based budgeting, which is a management technique at the grassroots of what you're doing, lowering fire costs each of 2 years, $2 million each. We will continue that. Another example is in our golf courses, going from a $500 million shortfall 2 years ago to $200,000 in the black. What a swing, $700,000. We will continue these areas. The number one thing we want to attack is healthcare, getting from 36 plans to one, and capture those efficiencies as we adjust ourselves to the federal mandate.
30-second responses. Dan Welch, you're first.
You can cover up a lot of problems if you raise enough money by way of taxes and fees. That's what's happened in the last 3.5 years. I can tell you it is time to take on our police and fire pension system and those contracts, and it has to start happening now, because 20 years from now we're not going to have a retirement system left. Gene, the last contract that you negotiated after taking the negotiation authority away from the mayor was the most expensive fire contract in the history of the city. Our own city finance department said that you put a $7.5 million hole in the budget, and I can tell you the savings were quite minimal. We needed more. We needed it now. You took it away, and you put a hole in the budget. That's not acceptable. It's time to turn it around. It's time to go after these problems, not by raising more money, but actually solving the problems.
Gene Stoddard.
Mr. Welch, the fire and police contract that your city council voted for, and you voted for the police contract, was the most expensive contract in the history of Omaha. That contract allowed spiking, it allowed retirement at age 45, and it got us from being a fully funded pension system to $680 million underfunded. The contract that the city council just negotiated, if we say it is more expensive than the mayor's, that's not true. It saved $125 million more than the mayor's, and as of January 1st, 13, $30 million of unfunded pension liability dropped. We saved $30 million by the first of the year.
Brad Asher.
You know, Dan, Mayor, and Gene, I think, did the best job they could. Negotiating collective bargaining agreements is very, very tough. Dan did a good job. I think Gene did a good job, the mayor. Let's move forward. Let's move forward and get past that. By 2014, let's get a plan for consolidation of city-county government. Let's not have two police forces. Let's not have two roads departments. Let's not have two planning departments. Let's have a consolidated government that reflects the 21st century demographic reality of our community.
Dave Navity.
I think it's really important that the next mayor do their homework and study the best practices and do their research on what labor contracts ought to look like before they rush into signing them. And to recklessly go into new labor contracts without counting the cost ends up putting a bigger burden on the taxpayers. It should have never happened. And frankly, you know, the union members are looking at what happened, and you know, they're kind of mocking what occurred because they knew what they got away with. And we need better leadership than that in our city.
Jim Suttle.
Well, as an engineer, business person, I am trained to deal with processes. And that's what you need to change at City Hall, getting from the old tried and true ways of doing things so we can redesign each of the processes in departments one by one and sections one by one so we can capture the efficiencies through modernization, looking at better ways of doing things and getting more things online. We've already proven that. You like the services. We're getting kudos for what we're doing. We will continue to do that in the next 4 years.
It's now projected that the cost of the Omaha Sewer Separation Project will rise to $50 per month for individual homeowners. What would be your plan, if any, to mediate the cost for individual homeowners? Jim Suttle?
Well, first of all, we needed a plan, and we didn't have one until my administration came in. That plan is now on file at the state and with EPA Kansas City. It is our plan, and it was a consent decree from an administrative side, which means we change it. We control it. My next step is to take a two-year window and begin to look at how we can re-engineer the Deep Rock Tunnel and get rid of it. It's 42% of the cost. I submit to you that if we can have increased technology, that deals with these cell phones that change every 2 years, we can certainly find a better way to zap the bacteria when we have our overflows in the river. That's what I'm looking for. We'll have more on that as we look at the next 2 years. Meantime, I'm in Washington. I'm one of 25 mayors that are leading the fight as we get the federal government to step forward and become a financial partner and get this unfunded federal mandate off of our shoulders and the other 771 jurisdictions as well.
Dan Welch.
Just right quickly going back to the police and fire contracts, I can promise you I was the biggest opponent in City Hall of those contracts, and those of you that were around at that time will remember that. And I asked you to do the same when you took over my seat, Gene, so let's not confuse the people. With regard to the sewer system, $50 a month is too much. Can you imagine being on a fixed income and paying $50 a month in addition to your increase in property taxes, your increase in the wheel tax, you're increasing the restaurant tax and the occupation tax? People are going to leave this city. I think that we absolutely need to go to Washington and ask for additional time to pay this off so that people that are paying the bill now that are on fixed incomes will pass on and will share the cost with the younger people in the city as they get jobs and grow into the city. I would also say that we have to take a strong look at technology. When you have this much money coming out of governments, you're going to have private companies that are going to try and build a new and better mousetrap so that we can tackle this problem at a much lesser expense. So we've got to be aware of that. I brought in a group out of Indiana before I left the city council to do just that, and we have to keep on looking.
Gene Stothard.
Yes, as chairman of the Public Works Committee, this is something I've been working on for almost 4 years now. There was a rate ordinance that was passed by the previous city council that determined how residential, industrial, and commercial customers were going to pay for this project. And, of course, it is an unfunded federal mandate. My committee, as well as the city and the Chamber of Commerce, and the chamber hired a mediator. We had worked last year on trying to amend this ordinance to make it more flexible and affordable for our industrial customers. Those costs that were determined by the Council for Industry were going to chase a lot of our industry out of town. We successfully amended that. The cost is spread out amongst the industrial and the commercial customers, and it's going to be more palatable. But the key to this whole project, and it's a 15-year project, and now it's an 18-year project because we've got some extra time because of the flood, is flexibility and affordability. And we need a leader that is going to continue working with the DEQ and the EPA to make sure that that happens.
Brad Asher?
I applaud the mayor for his plan on the reservoir under the river. I think he's absolutely right. And I applaud Gene as well, because I think they did a good job in reallocating those fees across the board. We have to slow this project down. I think the mayor's on the right track. We have to slow this project down. And the TransCanada example, I think, is key here, because everyone said the TransCanada pipeline is going to go across the Ogallala Aquifer. And that's until the legislature and the governor acted and worked with Washington and with the Obama administration and changed the course of that pipeline. I pledge, whether I'm elected mayor or not, that I will continue to work with Jim Suttle, or if he's mayor, or anybody else who's mayor, to address this problem. This is a killer. This is an absolute killer for our community, and we must address it together. We can do anything in Omaha if we put our mind to it, and we have to put our mind to this one. So,
Dave Navity?
I just want to applaud you for all the applause you've given to everybody. You've been a very nice guy.
This
sewer separation project is a perfect example of why we've got to have someone from the private sector that is a business person leading our city. Because our mayor went out to these heavy water users and they said to him, you know what, you guys use so much water, we're going to have you pay massive fees and massive fines to cover the cost of the sewer water project. Now, these are packing plants that also support Northeast Nebraska and all the cattle industry that comes into Omaha. It took the Chamber of Commerce getting an arbitrator to get them, the city, to the table to negotiate something that was reasonable. We shouldn't have to do that if we're trying to solve problems. The net result of all of that is Skinner Baking, rather than building a new plant in Omaha, is building it in Texas. And the reason they're building it in Texas is they got so spooked by the way the mayor handled them that they don't trust Omaha. And that cost us a lot of jobs.
We're down to 30-second responses, and this will be our last round. Jim Suttle.
Well, let's have a little truth and a little ethical behavior in that last comment. I initiated the meetings with our industry. We stayed with them through the whole process. In and out of the game was a chamber. Along came the idea of a mediator that worked beautifully because we kept everybody at the table working on the problem. The biggest cost in industry is labor, 60 to 80%. Your utility costs are 2%. You do the math on this. We did the right thing. But how we got there and the arguments on how we got there were certainly very much flawed and full of a lot of politics.
Dan Welch.
Well, Mayor, if we're going to be honest about it, I've had conversations with those industrial leaders, and I think it was mishandled. The fact of the matter is the Skinner Banking Company did put up a 100,000-square-foot plant and employ 400 people in Paris, Texas, and part of that was because they weren't very comfortable with what was going on in Omaha. Now, when we handle these things, we've got to do it appropriately, and that means when we're sitting across the table from business people that bring jobs to this city, we have to treat them with dignity and respect. I don't know. I wasn't a part of those meetings, but I can tell you they're angry, and I just don't think there's any place for that when we're trying to create jobs in the city of Omaha.
I suggest you look at the P&L sheets, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Gene Stothard.
Yes, well, what we need is we need someone with experience, someone who understands the issue, and someone who can work with others to get a compromise and get things done. I will correct that although Skinner is building a new plant in Texas, Skinner, because of the efforts of the city and my committee and the chamber, are expanding and building in Omaha. They are not moving out, and the jobs will be preserved.
Brad Ashford.
Yeah, we can do anything. We went back to the river. The voters voted for it. We got rid of the Asarco plant. We built the Quest Center. My goodness gracious, we can solve this problem. We got to get over the squabbling about who did what and get it done. We can do it. We will do it. There's no question about it. So let's get past who said what to whom, and let's move forward, because I think we can solve this problem in a myriad of ways if we work together.
Dave Navity.
We have a culture problem in this city that is really anti-business today. If you talk to the planning department, last year it took 8 weeks to permit a Jimmy John's. You can go to Boise, Idaho and get it permitted in 4 days. You look at the way the mayor went after these heavy water users with outrageous fines. We're thumbing the business community in the eye, and they're the doorway to economic growth. They're the doorway to new jobs. They're the doorway to the problems with unemployment. We need to be the easiest city in America to do business with, and that's what I'm going to bring.
Thank you all. How about a nice round of applause for the candidate?
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. On today's program, we've heard the first of two debates with candidates for the office of mayor of the city of Omaha. Today's participants, in anticipation of the primary election this coming Tuesday, April 2nd, have been incumbent Mayor Jim Suttle, seeking his second term in office, and challengers, current member of the Nebraska unicameral Brad Ashford, Omaha businessman Dave Nabity, current member of the Omaha City Council Gene Stothert, and former Omaha City Council President Dan Welch. This program, co-sponsored by the Omaha League of Women Voters, was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Friday afternoon, March 22, 2013, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee and to the Omaha League of Women Voters for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club presents these noontime educational forums each month. The next program will be Friday, April 26th at 12 noon. At that time, we'll hear a debate between the two winning candidates for mayor of the city of Omaha in next Tuesday's primary election. If you'd like to attend this or other future programs in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 402-345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 300 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.